walking in the light. We have seen how it's mandatory for us to have a doctrine to line our lives up with what God says. If we don't understand, that's what the fivefold gift ministries are about. Not our heathen friends. They're not going to tell us what we need to know, but men of God, women of God that have been trained in the Word and live the Word. We've also seen how important it is to understand that we have a new position, and that position is where? In heavenly places. And so our perspective is no longer earthbound. It is heaven looking down upon the earth. We have God's perspective on things. The problem is the re-education or re-doctrination or whatever way you want to call it of our minds to the Word of God and what it means and what He's trying to get us to understand. It's one thing I think we really got down to the point we know He loves us. We know that. He'll never leave us or forsake us, but there is so much more about the kingdom of God we need to know. And the only way we're going to know that is to walk in the light as He's in the light. Amen? So today we're going to deal with how to start walking into the light. Ephesians 4 verses 20 through 32. I have a lot of material to go through. I have 30 minutes to police myself to do, and we will try to do the best job I possibly can. Paul's writing to us. He says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ this way. Surely you have heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no more, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you." Now, because we're no longer heathens, we must be children of God. Right? That's what the Word says. We're His children. And so what we need to do is jettison all the old attitudes, behaviors, lifestyles. All that must be changed in order to live this life that God has called us, so that we can be in the light as He's in the light. There's no darkness in God. It's impossible for Him to lie to us. He is nothing but pure truth and love. Amen? I've said through the years, the Bible is our textbook, the world is our classroom, and the Holy Spirit is our personal tutor to live this life in preparation for the kingdom to come. Well, the kingdom is here. He dwells in us. The King and His kingdom dwells in us. And it's the Holy Spirit's job for us to become obedient, to live a life that reflects that reality to us. And most of us don't have that reality. Most of us have bits and pieces of it, and that's okay, as long as we continue to add the pieces together so that more and more of Jesus and the kingdom reflects out of us and less of who we are is prevalent. We don't want them to see who Christ died for. We want them to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? So today in the church, what we have is we have a church, especially in Western churches, that are built on compromise. And by that, what I'm saying is this compromise is more or less an acceptance or an avenue to be accepted by the world so that we can be like the world. I don't want to be like the world. I want to be like my Father who art in heaven. And I don't care if I stand on people's toes and they become very uncomfortable in my presence. Because you know what? If they're uncomfortable in my presence, just think how uncomfortable they're going to be in His presence. And we're the last buffer. We're the last line of resistance before they come to judgment. And they have to come to understand that when we became born again, we immediately changed allegiance. We are no longer under the authority and dominion of the kingdom of this world. We are above that. We're of royal descent now. And because of what Christ has done for us, we have all power and authority over the enemy. He has nothing on us. And so these elements, which I'm going to speak about, show us how the enemy comes into us and then begins to start defeating us. Amen? Now I want you to understand that compromise in any area, when God instructs us that we need to jettison this stuff, and we don't immediately, we immediately start some chain reaction, and that's called compromise. And the enemy still begins to work in those areas because that's where he was lured of one time. And we need to kill that immediately, cut it off, and stop functioning in it. Because our desire should be to live in the fullness of what Christ promised us, a life that is more abundant than what this world will provide for us. And Jesus gives us a stern warning out of Revelation 3, verses 15 through 18. He says, I know your deeds, they are neither hot or cold. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not have a need of anything. But you don't realize how wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked you are. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in a fire so that you may become rich. And white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shamefulness. And salve to put on your eyes so that you may see. You see, these are believers who have compromised their lifestyle. And because of it, they think because they've had material wealth, because they see the acts of God, because of all the Christianese that we've got going on, then we must be okay. And they don't realize that spiritually, they're in ruin. It's not what we attain in this world. It's who we become in this world. It's who we become. And we should become more and more like Jesus. Paul exhorts us to live Romans 1 and or 12, 1 and 2. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to present yourself as such. Be no longer conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I hear people say, I don't know what God's doing, I can't hear God, my first sign is, what are you doing in disobedience? How are you feeding your spirit? And what is it that you're not willing to do? He's very clear in His Word to give us instruction. He says, ask, and I'll give it to you in liberality. And when we don't know what He's doing, it's on our end. And that's where the kingdom of darkness comes in, to clouds our understanding and our mind and plugs up our ears so we can't hear the Spirit of God. Why? Because we're still doing certain things that God has told us to get rid of. And that is not walking in the light. Our refusal to be obedient is always what John says is, you know, They refused to come into the light because they rather stay in the darkness so their deeds would not be exposed. It could be a little thing, but it's that little thing that becomes a giant pebble in our lives, or even a boulder to hinder us from progressing to become more like Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to set us free from the power of sin, the fear of death, and delivered us, lock, stock, and barrel, from the authority of the prince of this world. Do you believe that? Then why are we so under it? I can't answer that for you. Each one of us has to answer that, and we have to answer it honestly before God. He has set us from that. We are no longer susceptible to what He does to us. We are under a different king who has a different authority, who promises to protect us and take care of us and meet all our needs. And yet, we still haven't gotten the basics, because that's the basics of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this stuff will be added unto you. You see, there's something greater. If we can get past this stuff mentality and go look for the greater things of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will begin to understand and grasp with the revelation that God has a plan, and your plan generally is not exactly what He wants. And so what we do is we hit these highs and lows in our spiritual walk, never coming to a place where they level out, and then they all of a sudden we're ascending the mountain of God. Your lives feel like that? That you're constantly in this wave all the time? Could be the reason for it. And because we're willing to compromise our lives, Proverbs 23:7 is very, very clear. It says, "For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink." Isn't that what we just said? He says to you, but in his heart, he is not with you. In other words, this person who is thinking about the cost has no intention of paying the price. Only those who want Jesus and want the things of the kingdom are willing to pay the price. Why? Because nothing in this world, no matter what the cost is too much for those who want to grab a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not your family, not your job, not your kids, nothing. All that is secondary. If you have settled in your heart once and for all, I don't care what I have to pay, the kingdom is most important. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. I got things and plans to go on in my life. Do you believe that God knows the things that you're planning? Yes. Do you believe that He has control over your life? Yes. Well, then what are you struggling for? Commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit once and for all to the things of the kingdom. He wants us to begin to release this light that's in us. And the problem is we have these messages going out from our lives that are convoluted. We say one thing, but we live some other way. We live one way, but it's contrary to what the Word of God says. Or we make excuses about what the Word of God says just so we can feel good about ourselves. Well, that's not the kingdom. Zechariah 8:16 and 17 says, "These are the things you should do." This is the Lord God speaking. "Speak the truth to each other and render true, sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against your neighbor. Do not swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord." You see, the first step for us to begin to start stepping into the light is stop lying. That is the first thing. He is all truth. He is the way, and He is the life. Is He your truth? Is He your life? Is He your way? Don't say, uh-huh, because you don't understand what I'm saying. It's all or nothing. It's not, yeah, He is on Monday, Wednesdays, and sometimes Fridays. He is when everything's going well. He is when I blow off steam and yell at my kids. Because after all, God is like that. You see, lying or to lie is the work of the devil. What is a lie? Let me give you Webster's dictionary. A lie is to make a statement that is contrary to the fact or truth with the intent to deceive. That's what a lie is. There is an intent to hide behind a facade, so to speak. To lie is to disrupt unity and destroy trust. It creates an air of confusion and results always in conflict. It was the first sin that was judged in the early church. In Acts we see that Sapphira and Ananias, they said they were going to give X amount of dollars to the church. And then held back some of that. And they lied. What happened to them? They died. I mean, it's serious business. And here we are, we're 2,000 years downstream, and we think, that was just a nice little story. It is not a story. It is grace that has been poured out and mercy that caps it. We need to stop lying. And those who lie to themselves are in worse condition because they deceive themselves. The father of lies has deceived us because we don't know what the truth is. Because we're not in the truth. 1 John 2:21 says, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know the truth, and because no lie comes from the truth. What's he saying? You lie because there's no truth in you. And I'm writing to you to remind you that there's truth in you. You have Jesus Christ in you. So live according to what he says to do. To speak truth is to promote understanding with unity. It builds confidence and assuredness in relationships to build the church up. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Everyone supplying the needs to build the church up, that we all come to the unity of faith in Christ Jesus. A mature man. The worst condition, like I said, is one who lies to themselves. That believer, their judgment drifts away. They have no sense of what reality is, nor do they understand what love is, because all they do is love themselves. And they will deceive themselves to love themselves more. God abhors lying. He hates it. It's one of the seven things that he's listed for us that he hates. We cannot walk in the light if we continue to lie. We need to repent, get it under the blood, and move forward. The second thing that Paul says to do is we need to control anger and not sin in it. Jesus told us that you're going to sin. I mean, you're going to be angry. Don't sin in it. Now, some people don't understand what that means, and I'm going to bring that out. Anger is an emotion that is aroused when something displeases us. That's all anger is. It's an emotion. Handled improperly, anger will destroy relationships. And so what we think we can do is we can internalize it. We can hold it inside. Is that good? No, not good. Because once it's inside, the devil now gains a foothold. And Paul tells us, you know, to properly dispense with anger so that the devil doesn't get a foothold. Now, this foothold is really interesting. It's where he comes into our minds and he begins to start planting seeds and thoughts of hatred, resentment, bitterness, and rage. And when it continues to build up, it builds up a storehouse or a stronghold that when there's no more room for it, it erupts. And we're wondering, what happened? What got this individual so bent out of shape? I just said something like this, but you know, they just went off the deep end and just chewed me up one side and went down the other side of me. For no real reason. It's because this person has been holding anger inside. And when this person holds anger inside, it can manifest through a passive aggressive behavior. When this anger that is not dispensed properly, if we are not able to converse with someone saying, you know, Nick, what you said 10 minutes ago really made me mad. I'm really angry about that. If we don't control the emotion and we allow it to happen in such a way that we don't speak to one another, doesn't the Bible say that if you have naught with a brother or a sister, to go to that one and rectify? I mean, why don't we do those things? Are we afraid that we may cause something out of it? Or are we truly afraid that it's something good for us? I think it's the latter. Because we're so comfortable in our sinful flesh that we would rather stimulate that and hold on to it in such a way that when we do blow up, oh, it's just the way he is. You know how that is. Just the way it is. When we blow up, and I used to be one of these type of people that I would internalize my anger. I would not be able to vocalize it and be able to speak this. It became very destructive. And what happens is because people don't know how to live and relate to you in that, because you're not willing to face the truth of what's causing this anger and be able to express it and give it to the Lord and repent of it, people walk around you in eggshells. You ever have that experience? Well, praise God, he delivered me from that. I have no problems telling people I'm angry with them. And I go to God all the time and tell him I'm mad at him. And he just laughs at me and says, well, that's okay. Anger is the first step to murder. That's what Jesus said. When we're angry with a brother, we're actually murdering them. And there's causes for those things. Do you not know that most murders in this country are committed by people that are known by their victim? I forget what the percentage is. It's very high. It's between 60 and 80% of those people that have been murdered knew their victim. It's ridiculous. Anger is only the beginning stage. And if we're able to handle it at the beginning stages, we won't sin. Sin comes out in bitterness. Bitterness is the internalization of anger that is poisons the mind and spirit towards an individual because of a perceived wrong. And if it's left to grow, resentment and malice leads to a passive aggressive behavior, to a worse behavior. Could be acting out, could be saying words of displeasure. This is sin at its beginning stages. We haven't dealt with it, so now it's poisoning us. And now it's going to poison the relationships. Passive-aggressive behaviors include slander. Slander is the destructive intent through gossip, lying, and the spreading of false rumors to destroy a person or person's, people's, reputation. It is designed with a purpose. Did you hear what Becky did the other day? Well, let me tell you. It should not be in the mouths of God's people. No slander, nothing. Malice is the wicked actions of doing evil towards others with the deliberate attempt to harm them. Have you ever thought of deliberately harming people? I'm honest. Yeah, I've thought about doing bodily harm to people. And in my previous life, I did. Now I know that that's wrong. That's sinful. Should not be amongst us. But you know what? I still get those thoughts of doing bodily harm to Shad. He's beating on my door. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. So we have slander, malice, wrath. It's the outward explosion of these emotions that flow upon those who we love. And most of that's upon our wives or spouses, our kids especially. Why? Because they can't fight back. And so we become this super bully to our kids. And we don't realize that we're destroying them emotionally. We're destroying them, stunning them intellectually in how to properly relate to people. And we're destroying the image of them looking at us in a way, a protector, to a place that they don't want to have anything to do with us. They may not say anything, but that is the scarring that happens because we've taken their innocence away and we have displayed ungodly behavior before them without considering them and what we're doing to them. We need to do all we can to protect their innocence no matter what. Brawling can take the place of blaspheming and evil speaking. This is the fighting of words. Not going to do it this week. I try, man. I make it my purpose every week. Blaspheming is evil speaking or fighting with words. And clamor may be loud assertions that we make in the blaspheming. And eventually, it can result into physical abuse, fighting, whatever the case may be. But this is what anger does, and it should not be amongst us. It should not be in our home. It should not be in us. We're going to get angry. Aristotle said, anyone can be angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person for the right reason, to the right degree, at the right time, in the right way, that is not easy. And believe me, those of us, and myself included, who have really struggled early on in our walks with anger, because when you get angry, then you start cursing and you start saying things that are really dumb. And I can remember Irene looking at me, and as I'm going on this tangent, she's looking at me. And then when I was all done, she says, you're insane. You're just insane. Cool, calm, and collected. Shot me off again. You know, it's like I had this great display of anger. I was trying to be the intimidator. I was trying to straighten this thing out. It wasn't working. And here she is, cool, calm, collective, Miss Irene. You're insane. Isn't that the same thing that Zechariah said through the Lord, to have sound judgment? We lose judgment of what's going on. It's okay to be angry. Our emotions are going to be tried. Things are going to happen that's going to be displeasing to us. How we go about that is wrong. We should be angry with only two things: sin and evil. Like our Father. He's angry at the devil because he's evil. And he defeated him on the cross. He hates sin because it marred his prized creation, of which we're that trophy, we're the apple of his eye. Two things that we need to, one, to jettison totally, and that's walk in truth, so we can begin to walk in the light. Second is to control anger in a righteous way, like our Father. He destroyed people because he wasn't angry with the people. He was angry with their wickedness. And he warned them and warned them to the point that, you know, today we have kids that are warned and warned, and they don't reap the consequences of the behaviors. We're living in a society that is in total rebellion to God. And when we walk in the light and they begin to see us, and contrary to what they know, it creates a thirst. It creates something that they say, I'd like to know how you're able to stay so cool, calm, and collective. Could you tell me? And that'll be the opportunity for us to tell them about Jesus and to invite them to be a part of what God's doing. Amen? Father, we'll go to part two next week. But Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you're showing us how to begin to walk in the light, how to walk in the Spirit, how to live by following the Spirit. Because your word says those who follow after your Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. And Father, we want to walk perfect before you. We want to walk as mature men and women, no longer as babes tossed to and fro by every trickery and deceit and wind of doctrine that's out there, God. We want to be rock solid on your word, but also seasoned with grace and mercy upon our lips, and a heart filled with love and compassion for people who don't understand nor can see what's going on in their lives. Father, as we go forward today, Lord God, I ask that you bless your people. Holy Spirit, I ask that you convict your people in these two areas so that we would no longer have lies on our lips and no longer be stuck in anger, God. But we would use all things to be constructive, to add, to build to your body. And Father, most importantly, to glorify you. We thank you, Father. We ask that you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.